So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Father God, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. I thank you that this Sunday is set apart, this day of rest, the Sabbath day, Lord God. I thank you that our nation does still acknowledge it in some form. I thank you that we are acknowledging it in the form of worshiping you, Lord Jesus. And we just pray for those that other churches that are meeting right now at this time across this nation and as well as across the world, Lord Jesus, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Father God, it is our prayer that you would inhabit the praises of your people this day. Pray that the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable this day. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. He is good.
Amen.
Thank you.
Father, as we're singing this song, just even the end part right there, I'm just, what I can envision is just us being able to be above the storm and be above everything of this world and just looking down and just being able to see your plan unfold. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you give us wisdom, Lord. Father, we are going through so many things. There's people here that maybe are going through great times, and maybe after this great time, there's going to be a big storm coming, or Father, there's going to be hard times for someone right now, Father, but maybe a nice, relaxing little reprieve is going to be at the end of it. But Father, we may not know everything that's going on, but Father, I pray that you just give us wisdom and help us just to help us, our storehouse to be full, Lord God, spiritually. If we're going through that hard time, help us just to really, really just cling to you. And if we're going through a great time, I pray the same thing, Father. Help us only to look to you so that we know how to use your strength and use your wisdom and just everything, whether we're going through good or bad times, Father. Help us be able to separate ourselves from that situation and just be able just to look down and just rise above everything. Father, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. I just think of it, Lord, we have so much junk that we carry around with us. But it's almost like you're like, I can see your future. I can see you getting free of that stuff. And I love you so much because of it. I love you because I'm your Father and I want you to have joy. I want you to walk through this world with confidence and knowing that you're loved. It's just like when we look at our little kids and we know they're up to no good. It doesn't make us hate them. It makes us say, oh, you guys, I love you, and I know you're about to make a bad decision. I want you to make the right decision. Please make the right choice, even though I know you're probably not going to. But I'm still going to love you, and I'm still going to have that hope that this next time you're going to choose the right thing. So, Father, I thank you for loving us unconditionally, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your patience, Lord. You know, some of us, you know, when we gave our heart to you, it was 100%. We just completely changed right away. Some of us, it took a little bit longer. Some of us, it's taking a little bit longer. But I pray, Father, that while you're patient with us, the hunger that's inside of us keeps growing. And that we are going to want that freedom, Lord. That we're not going to want to stay in the situation that we're in, Lord, but we're only just going to want to grow deeper in you, Father. Help us not to be content. Whether we've been in this walk for, you know, 5, 10, 20 years, help us always want to get even closer to you, Father.
You. Now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death.
Worthy, worthy, worthy.
Father, that's why we're here today. We're here, we're worshiping you, we're thanking you, Father, for everything that you've done for us, Lord. And Father, we know that you're going to do so much more in our lives, and that doesn't mean giving us wealth or amazing things, but it's just giving us freedom and having us know what family means, what love means, and forgiveness, Lord. You break all of our chains, Father. I just think about, you know, where I used to be in life, Lord, and I do. I reflect on that a lot. And even if I'd still be alive, Lord, with all the stuff that I was doing, Lord, and all the sin that was over me, Father, and I just think about how much freedom I have, Lord, true freedom. Not freedom to party or do whatever I want to do, but freedom to know that I don't need those things. I have joy. I have true joy, true happiness. I know what love truly is. And Father, that's because of your grace. And that's because of your forgiveness and your love, Father. I pray that everyone here understands what it's like to have a personal relationship with you, Lord. Even if we're speaking these words and singing these songs and reading through your scriptures, and Father, sometimes it might seem a little complicated and you just don't understand, but we're going to trust that your Holy Spirit's going to speak to us. We're going to have complete trust in you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you is right.
Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy. You are amazing grace.
Good morning, everybody. So glad you're here to hear the Word of God. Now listen, if I could just say one thing just off the cuff really quickly. Oh, that's wonderful. If I could just say one thing off the cuff really quickly, and that is, if you just come here to church, and that's all you're doing, and it's nice, and you meet friendly people and stuff like that, and you don't know the living God, and you're not walking with the living God, and you're not developing that relationship, can I tell you something? It's all missing. The Lord wants you to know Him and to walk with Him. Coming to church just to come to church is empty. God wants to fill you with Himself, with His Holy Spirit, give you spiritual eyes to see, feet to walk, hands to help, hands to touch, and to be His hands and feet. Because He's got a mission for you. And that's the truth in Jesus' name. So don't be satisfied just coming to church. If that's you and that's how you are, come see me afterwards or come see Gary or somebody or Lisa or somebody and just grab them and say, I want to know this God, your God that you're talking about, that you love, because we would love to introduce you to him. All right. Well, we've got some things to go over. Hey, Lisa, just really quickly, children's ministry.
Yeah, Ashley's actually back there.
Wow. Isn't she having, yeah. Yes.
No.
Oh my goodness. That is amazing. Hold on one second. I'm so sorry. I know you don't want the, I'm just going to hug you. Okay, you guys can all just wait. All right. So, here's what we have today. Ah, tithes and offerings. We do have that today. We don't have enough of it, but no. Thank you guys for all you guys who give just faithfully every week or every month. You give to the Lord. That is such a blessing, and that helps us to do everything that we do. Laura, who is going to share this week, got called out of town, her and her family. So she's going to be back next week and share about the North River Care Pregnancy Center. But she wants to invite you to their 20th year celebration on October 4th. But she'll be back next week to share that. Debbie, you're also going to share if you text me. Okay, good. Fantastic. A couple things, big church night out in Clearwater, and that's October 19th at Calvary Baptist Church. The More Than Words Youth Conference is also coming here in October, I think, right? Am I right? Processing standby. Yes, October 20th. See Josh and Amanda Panda for details. That should be really a great conference. couple other things. Let's go through this. If anybody else wants to join this Enduring Word Cruise, to get on that list, now is the time to do it. If you want me to send you information, I will. It's about $4,000, but it's going to go to, it's 12 nights, 9 ports, 5 countries, and I think there's now somewhere between 10 and 15 that are signed up to go from our church. And so that's very exciting, and hopefully they'll all get in. And the waiting list is very short, so we'll be going to Israel and Crete and Rome and Greece, and I mean, it's just going to be, you know, the trip of a lifetime. And so we just want to encourage you to come. It'll be like at least 2 years of Bible college if you go. It's an unbelievable experience. So just want to encourage you to go. You guys already know all this stuff. Prayer Sunday mornings. We would love to have you come out at about 9 a.m. See Gary for info. Also, men's Bible study this week. Yes, who's teaching? Are you teaching? Okay. And you're going to be in the Bible? Great. All right, so Gary's going to teach from the Bible, so that's amazing. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, as we're going through God's Word, so that should be great. 6 o'clock for dinner, 6:30 for Bible study. And if you don't normally come out, why don't you try something new? Come out. Get the Word in you. Gary's really a pretty wonderful man and loves the Lord and loves His Word and loves to pray. Youth group, Josh and Amanda Panda, Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. Be here. Be there. Be square. Trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, yes, our parenting course on Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m. And then Shepherd's Heart. Hey, do we have a movie? I forgot. A 2-minute clip? Yeah, if you can just get it ready, I'll just talk for about 60 seconds while you're getting it ready. I just want to encourage you guys. Thank you very much for praying. I don't know if you noticed the third building went up, and we've got probably about a 50% increase in students from last year to this year. It's been absolutely amazing. And we didn't think, again, God just does whatever He wants to do. So He makes impossible things possible. That's just what He does. Every single time. We had some people from the school say, what happened? I thought there was all these things that have to go through. And yes, and then all of a sudden, like that, everything starts going. So the electric is almost all the way hooked up. And so maybe even by the end of this, I don't dare say it. I'll just say by the end of the month. Yes, I'm going to say that. So, but I just want to encourage you to pray not only for these kids that coming from different, some from our church, some from different churches, but more and more are coming, and so much so that we had to say stop. We can't even take any more right now. And so, but if you would pray for this school, but also we've got amazing kids in other schools, some in public, some in private. We love all of our kids in all the different schools, our homeschoolers. We just want to take a minute and pray. And so we've got a short clip, a short video, I think. Is that all right, George? Hit it. Roll film.
Lord, 3 words are on our lips now. Conversations and in our prayers too. Back to school. They're picking out backpacks and brand new notebooks. Every blank page filled with possibilities, dreamed up at the tip of their newly sharpened pencils. Our kids will have enemies they can see and enemies they can't. Choices to make, truths to discover, lies to reject, friendships, failures, heartbreaks, triumphs. Remind them you're by their side, Lord. They'll climb those stairs on the big yellow bus, which always say the same thing. Watch your step. Lord, that is what we pray for them today. That you watch their every step. Whether they walk or run, stumble or climb. These are long days and short years. Soon enough, they'll be flying from the nest. These are the years when we understand that our children are not our own and that we can't always go with them. But whether they turn to the right or left, whether they crawl or run, may they hear your voice always whisper, "This is the way. Walk in it." Father, this year and every year we pray, would you watch their steps? In Jesus' name, amen.
that was good. Yeah, you can applaud that. Hey, could somebody lead us? I don't know where the microphone, who has the mic? Sophie, amazing girl. Does anybody feel led to pray for our kids at school? It doesn't matter who you are. If you do, just raise your hand high and Soph will bring you the microphone. And then we're going to have you pray for the kids. Just for all the kids that are going to school these first weeks. And that God would just bless them. So whoever raised their hand, just bring it. Thanks. Anybody raise your hand? Nobody cares about the children? Okay, great. I was terrible. I did say feel led. Oh, God, forgive me for that one. Okay, sorry. Okay, that was Darren joking. Don't listen to that part.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, you do. Sure.
As you all know, Richard is in Kentucky, mm-hmm. and he actually got his diploma Friday.
Oh, that's great.
Woo! And he'll be coming home the 21st of next month.
Yep, that's great. I actually talked to him this weekend on the phone for a little bit, and he's just really looking forward to getting home. Yeah, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, keep him safe. Help him to watch his step when he gets back. Everybody says, amen. Oh, Lord. Yes.
Lord God, we do thank you that we can lift our children up anytime, any place. And yes. Lord Jesus, as this video is so eloquently said, they have so many challenges and things that they can see and things that they don't see that are trying to mess them up and attack their souls. And Lord Jesus, I pray that the Christians would be encouraged, and I pray that those that are non-Christians would find you, and that their hearts would be broken towards you, Lord Jesus, that they would welcome you in, Lord Jesus. We do pray for safety on the class, on the school grounds, and in the traveling, and we pray against any forces that would try to bring chaos in any of the schools, wherever they are. Yes. Chaos is in public, chaos is in private, Lord Jesus. We just pray for your sovereign hand and your mercy to be upon our nation and to be upon our children this day, Lord Jesus. Bless them with this new year, this new adventure in front of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Awesome, awesome. Praise the Lord. Yes, Andy. Look at you. You're so good. You pay attention. You do good.
My voice is weak today.
Are you getting taller?
Yeah. Yes, she is.
Freaking me out. Oh, that is true, too. Elijah and Hezekiah are both, like, over me. Whatever, talk. See, you get too much information here. That's Andy. Go ahead, Tony.
I would like the church body to take a moment and pray for those children that are homeless and that are attempting to go to school.
Yeah.
They have no place to shower, no appropriate clothes to wear. But they're attempting to get their education, and their parents are encouraging them.
Yeah.
Please, Lord, as the body of this church, pray for all children, all children, those that are homeless.
Yes.
And those that have a home.
Yes.
As long as we spread the guiding light and show kindness and compassion in the Lord's word to all children. To all children. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys praying. Oh, so somebody else? Debbie?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got... Thank you. Our one of our granddaughters... is turning 10 today, and she's quite overweight, has been most of her life, and the bullying has been horrendous. I pray that kids everywhere find it in their hearts to stop that.
Yes. Man, amen. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us, right? Whoever's listening to this, to my voice, Lord, to hear your voice and to be an encouragement, to say those things that build others up and not tear others down, Lord, to encourage others in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good word. Good words. And Amanda, not Amanda Panda, Ashley, if you would, just pray for her, literally. She is over at the children's ministry right now. She's supposed to have a baby tomorrow. Now, yes. So now, when we had our babies, I didn't think it was any big deal. I'm in trouble, man. All right, I'll just shut up. See, the Lord just says, I was such a dumb guy, especially when we were having kids. I was so dumb. All right, so let's go back to our PowerPoint. Jorge, if you wouldn't mind. We'll go through the rest of the announcements. I don't know if there is any or isn't any, but thank you, sir. Hey, look at that. Take two. Is that us? Is that me? Okay, here we go. All right, so last week we were in Daniel chapter 6, and we saw Daniel in the lion's den. It was just a great time of teaching and sharing, and God was just speaking, and then the songs at the end. It was just a beautiful thing, and at the end, remember, it's Daniel 6 is about how to live an uncompromised life, and here's a guy, Daniel, who's lived his whole life for the Lord. And at the end, people are trying to trap him, and that's what people will do. That's what the world will do. Even sometimes, sadly, other quote-unquote Christians will try to knock you down, get you jealous, dumb stuff. But, you know, the Bible says if you set a trap for others, you get caught in it yourself. You can trust the Lord in those things. You don't need to take revenge. You don't need to get back. You let the Lord get them, okay? And just like they were trying to trip up Daniel and they were unable to, you know, we have an enemy too, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. Just like the lions tried to devour Daniel in the lion's den and could not because the Lord shut the mouths of the lions. So next time you have people speaking badly of you or talking whatever, smack to you or down to you, you know, you remember, you stand with the Lord and you ask him to shut the mouths of the lions and he'll take care of you in the long run. And that same verse that Mark read today, the accuser of the brethren has been hurled down. And that's how, all right, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ is so important to us. Amen. So now we are in the book of Daniel chapter 7. So if you would open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, kind-hearted Chris, we'll get one to you. Oh, hey, I'm trying to think. Is this yours?
Yeah.
Why don't you just take it? It's just a gift. There you go, brother. There you go.
My ownership.
Well, you left it here. All right, now I just want to say Daniel 7. Now, the first, just so you guys know about the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel is broken up kind of like into two parts, okay? So picture, I've absolutely, positively loved teaching the first six books of Daniel because it's filled with life application and it's filled with historical information and archaeological stuff and it just, I love it. You know, I get all jazz, historical stuff. And it's basically, it's the life of Daniel and his friends from when they were taken in Jerusalem from their homes and raised up in this pagan environment, in this bad culture, and they maintained their faith through all those years. They were faithful to the Lord. Blessing in Jesus' name. You as well. Blessing in Jesus' name. And they were faithful during this time. So those first six chapters are basically a historical account, if you will, a narrative, if you will, of the life. And it's usually seen kind of through the kings. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, we talked about King Nebuchadnezzar a lot, Cyrus the Great, Darius the Mede, Belteshazzar, his grandsons and their experience, and Daniel and different people would pop in and, you know, translate something or explain a vision, dream, or whatever. And it's basically all of the kings of these pagan worlds and how these guys come in and are a part of their lives. Now, what we have here, that's 1 through 6. Now, the rest of the book of Daniel, starting here on chapter 7, are not the dreams and the visions and the prophecies given to these kings from God. They're what has been given to Daniel. So you now have his life in the first six chapters, right? He's an old man, 80, right? So now we're almost going to go backwards. Now he's separated that, his life. Now he's going to say, now I want to share with you my prophetic dreams, what God gave me in these certain situations. Okay, so it takes a little bit of a different twist in these upcoming chapters. So it's very exciting in the fact that there's a lot of prophetic stuff, a lot of prophecy. And that is both super duper exciting and super duper scary. Really? really. Now, Daniel predicted, this is pretty amazing, rise and falls of empires for the next, like, 2,500 years. That is amazing. Scholars hate the book of Daniel, atheist scholars, because it's so accurate. It bugs them. But that's God's sovereignty. So there's a lot of prophetic stuff in here about what's going to happen in Daniel's life. All these kingdoms are going to rise and fall, but then also in the future. And before we get into all these different chapters now, as he's sharing his visions, God gives us a lot of imagery, okay, in these visions and prophecies. So I'm going to give you my prophecy disclaimer before we get into this. Okay? So I've learned over many, many years that my prophecy disclaimer is I have the right to be wrong. I have the right to change my mind later on. Okay? If I get something, I've learned more over the years. We're constantly learning. A lot of these, I've also learned to, you know, over many, many years, and I've probably listened to so many teachings and read so many books, and honestly, everybody has a little bit different take on what this means. If this means that, and this means, so here's what I've learned. I've learned to be a little bit more humble when it comes to imagery in the Bible. Do you know what I mean? Like in the book of Revelation, in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible doesn't explain exactly what it is, okay? I've learned to be a little bit more humble about it. And I used to look at those people and think, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. And now I'm like one of those, and I just think, well, you know what? I think being humble with you and saying there might be some things I don't understand yet is okay. And that's actually, I think, maybe a mature way to look at things. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, this person may confidently say, this is it. And this one will say, no, this is it. And they're both wrong. When we get some imagery, if you guys have a different opinion on it, you can talk to me afterwards. That's okay. I'm just going to share with you what I felt like the Lord was giving me as best as I can. Okay?
Well said.
Make sense?
So
there you go. So let's jump into the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Let me get there myself. Okay. So Daniel is now going to share one of his dreams and visions in chapter 7. And so it's going to kind of correspond with Nebuchadnezzar's dream back in chapter 2. I don't know if you remember that. Hit the lights just for a second. But if you're here for that study, we went over it in great detail. Nebuchadnezzar's dream, when God gave you the dream to him, you know, about the world empires, you know, he had it in the form of a man, these different empires that would come. And it was very rich and very magnificent. And that's kind of how men tend to see themselves in empires and things like that, you know, their wealth, their authority. But Daniel's going to see it in a whole different way. He's a believer. And so when God gives him the vision, his vision is that all these empires, they're just a bunch of beasts. They're animals. And it's a different perspective. Okay? So let's start in the first few verses here. It says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, that's Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Daniel had a dream. He was the guy, if you remember, that at the end of his, right before the Medes and the Persians came in, he's the one that was having that big party using God's special sacred things to drink and have like a, you know, rave party, okay? And then God just wrote, meeny, meeny, tekel, parson, you know, you are weighed and found wanting. You know, remember that guy? It was during his reign. So this happens between maybe chapters 4 and 5, okay? Just so you know. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. And he wrote down the substance of his dreams, or of his visions. Now, the word here for substance, he wrote down the substance, the word in Aramaic is resh. Now, I just want to, I'm like, Daniel, resh means he's writing down the chief part. He's writing down the essential parts, the sum of it. So he's only writing down the basics. Now, for a guy like me, and you see these prophecies and this beast, and this one has, you know, heads and horns, and I'm like, details, Daniel. I'm a detail guy. I want to know exactly. But he doesn't give that. The Holy Spirit said, well, Darren, this wasn't written just specifically for you. And he, in the Holy Spirit's wisdom, this is a sum. This is the essential parts of it that he had Daniel write down. And then it goes on to say, it starts off, Daniel said in verse 2, in my visions at night, I guess I better say this real quick because we've got different people visiting our church all the time. In Joel 2:28 in the Old Testament, the Lord promises his Holy Spirit. And then it says, after doing these things, he said, I will pour out my spirit, this is Joel chapter 2:28, on all people. Your sons and daughter will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. So I would be seeing visions right now. And then, anyway, that would be a dream, right? And then in Acts chapter 2, you remember when Jesus was crucified and rose again to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit, that same thing was poured out in Acts chapter 2, 16 to 18, that Peter spoke about that. And they were like, what's going on? What is happening here? And that's what he quoted, that same kind of verse in Joel. That your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and I'll pour out my spirit on servants, both men and women. Hey, God's no respecter of person. Everybody's going to get. So this is happens. Visions and dreams happen, are still for today. There are some people that think, well, now that the Holy Spirit's been given, you know, there's no more dreams, and God would never speak through a dream, or God could never speak through a vision. And that's not true. So I want you to know, for those of you who keep score at home, God speaks through dreams. You see it even in the New Testament. You'll see it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, 2:12, 2:13, 2:19 and 20, and 27:19. But you also see visions, that God will speak through visions. Now this is even in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, 10 through 12. Acts chapter 10, 1 to 6. Acts chapter 10, 9 to 17, and verse 19. Acts chapter 16, 9 to 10. Acts chapter 18, 9. Revelation 9, 17. You get the idea. So you remember that these gifts that God has for us are still for today. Prophecy, dream. God can speak to you however he chooses. Do not limit him. Do not limit the Holy Spirit to how he can speak to you. It will never be in contradiction to his word. But God can speak to you through this avenue. Okay? Does that make sense, everybody? Super duper. Okay. Thank you, Chris. It goes on to say in verse 2 that Daniel said, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven, churning up a great sea. Okay, well, what does that all mean? Okay, in my vision, I saw four winds of heaven churning up the sea. And so basically when it says the four winds of heavens, that usually just refers to in the Bible like all parts of the earth, like the north, the south, the east, and west. So picture a little compass. Matthew 24, 30 verses 31 says, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and with power and glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound and trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one ends of heaven to the other. So that's what he's talking about when he says the winds of heaven. It's from all over the earth, and it's churning up the chaos. So from all over the earth is churning up, is chaos in this great sea. Now a lot of Bible scholars think as he goes through these beasts that are going to rise, these empires are going to rise, a lot of people think that this is meaning the Mediterranean Sea. And I'll tell you, I've read that, and it could very well mean that. A lot of those empires that come up, come out from around the Mediterranean Sea over the next umpteen years. But I don't think he's just talking about the Mediterranean Sea, to be honest with you. And so I disagree with some of my Bible teachers. I think he's talking about the sea, meaning the nations and the people of the world, okay? So he's seeing these four winds of heaven, you know, all parts of the earth. The chaos is starting to happen. And out of the great sea, out of all these nations that are happening, out of this great sea, is the people, not the Mediterranean. And Isaiah 17, verse 12 to 13 says, "Woe to the many nations that rage. They rage like a raging sea. Woe to the people who roar. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Although the peoples roar like the roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they'll flee far away." In Revelation 13:1, he says, "Then I saw a beast rising out of the sea. It had 7 heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns on its horns. And written on each head were the names that blasphemed God." And in Revelation 17:15 says, "And the angel said to me, 'Hey, these waters you saw, this great sea, where the prostitute sits, it's the people, the multitudes and the nations and the languages.'" So that's what I think he's talking about here. He's talking about through all the nations that are going to be churned up, okay? And it goes on to say in verse 4, here's the first thing that he's seeing. He's seeing the winds coming from all different directions, churning, you know, picture in your mind, you know, those little water spouts or little hurricanes out there and all this chaos. And out of the sea of the nations comes the first beast. Okay? And verse 4 says this first beast was like a lion. Okay? Now this is kind of cool because he says the first beast was like a lion. And sometimes if God gives you a dream or a vision or something like that, and it's not completely explained to you, you are trying to figure out how to describe what God is showing you. Do you know what I mean? So Daniel's almost like, I don't know, this is kind of what it's like, okay? I'll describe it as best as I can. You know, if you go to Revelation at the end of your Bible, give me just 1 second. In Revelation, John did the same thing. Remember when he had his visions? You know, and God was speaking to him. You know, I just want to share. John did the same thing. To me, that's humility. John didn't say, "This is what I saw. It was exactly this." He wasn't a prideful, arrogant guy. He was just like, you know, this is what I saw. And it's kind of like this. You know, in chapter 1, you know, it says in verse 10, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. In verse 13, it says, "Among the lampstands, someone like a son of man." In verse 14, it says, I saw his eyes were like a blazing fire. Verse 15, his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In verse 16, his face was like the sun shining at all his brilliance. And it keeps going on like that. So, you know, I've had a few, God has given me a few dreams and a few visions, and I can tell you, I still remember what the first vision I ever had. I thought to myself, I was a new Christian, like 5 years, like baby Christian, you know, and I'm like, what is going on? No one ever told me about a vision or dream or spiritual warfare. I had no idea about any of that stuff. And so here I am. And I'm feeling this, I'll just tell you, I'm feeling this oppression in my life. Okay, because I'm walking with Jesus. I'm loving the Lord. I'm starting to learn a little bit more of the Bible. I'm very excited, overly zealous, hitting people with the Bible because I don't know any better. You know, telling them they're going to hell. Nah, but Jesus loves you. So in my zealousness, you know, and all of a sudden I start feeling this oppression. And man, it's not a physical thing. It's almost like, this is just, I'll just tell you how it's like, okay? It was like somebody was putting a cement block, you know those big blocks, on my chest and pushing it down harder and harder and harder and harder. And I thought, oh, it's pressure. I'm under stress. I'm under pressure. It's indigestion. I ate something. I'm too busy at work. So I cut out a lot of things. You know, a lot of. Nothing. Okay. Anxiety. No, okay. It's not that. Go to the doctors. They try everything. Scopes, thing. Everything's fine. You're in picture of perfect health. Okay, so now it's getting to the point where I can't even sleep. I'm literally up like this. I'm confused. I'm anxious. I'm worried. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. And I started just really pray and ask the Lord, what is going on, Lord? And I'll never forget this. I was actually with Lisa out at the beach. And I even have to say this. One of my friends, one of my buddies, when he has a vision, the Lord gives him one. He has totally taken that place. Everything else disappears. I didn't get it in that same way. To me, it was like a movie screen that you could see through. Okay, I don't know. So you're trying to describe it as best you can, and so we're at the beach and we're trying to have a nice time and we're talking. It's night, and I'm explaining to her. I don't know what's going on. I'm getting desperate. I can't. It's been a month. I can't sleep. I'm in a chair. I can't even sleep in a bed. I'm just getting so angry, so frustrated. And I'm like, I'm desperate. And she prayed for me. And all of a sudden, as she's praying or finishing up, I don't even remember now at this point. All of a sudden, I get this thing that I'm looking up and I'm going, oh my gosh. I'm like, and I'm trying to describe to her what I see. I see me. Okay, and I'm in armor, and I'm like this, and I'm on one knee, and with my shield, and I got my sword, and there's a big wall that's being toppled over on me, like a brick wall. I don't know if it's a brick wall. Let me think. Anyway, it was like a cement wall, something with bigger bricks on it, and there was this. Okay, so some of you are going, oh my gosh, he's going crazy. Anyway. I'm just telling you what I saw, and there was this beastie thing. I don't even know how to describe it. You know, 14 feet tall, demonic thing. He had a head like, I know this sounds dumb, like the big eyes, like an, almost like an Aladdin character, you know, huge upper torso. I remember the bones and its nails, like they were like, anyway, I still remember the grooves in them, okay? It was very detailed, vivid, but very wild. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going crazy. What is going on here? And this thing is crushing me, right? And I'm saying, are you seeing this? And I'm like describing it to Lisa. And of course, Lisa's going, no. And I'm describing what's happening. And this thing is literally crushing me over. It's a monstrous beast. And so she's like, we got to go to the church right now. And I don't know, when the vision went away, I was like, I was just freaking out because I didn't know any of this stuff. Spiritual warfare, what? Vision, what? So I just thought, we're not telling anybody. We're not going to church. We're not telling anybody. No. And she's like, honey, I'm telling you, this. We need to. I'm like, I don't even know what this is. I'm not going to church. So we didn't. So Sunday rolls around, and she said, just ask somebody. Just talk to one person. Okay, so I'm thinking, they're going to think I'm nutso. Because I'm a business guy. I own a computer networking company. I don't know this stuff. And I just happened to go over to a person. And I said, okay, I'm going to say something. You're going to think I'm crazy. This is what's going on. And this is what's happened in my life. And this is what I saw. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's spiritual warfare, man. You what you're in? You're in the armor of God, and you got your sword and your shield. Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, this is a real thing. And I was like, what? And he just called everything. He's like, yeah, this is what's happening, and this is what's going on, and you need to get people to pray. And I'm like, oh, I don't ask people to pray for me, you know, because I'm the man. And he's like, you got to give that up at this point. Aren't you desperate? Actually, I am desperate. He's like, that's what God's bringing you to. You need to ask people to pray. And don't ask people to pray that are just going to be like, oh, yeah, pray for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bye. Ask people who are really going to pray for you. Start telling them. You go up to a few people that you really trust. Tell them you desperately need prayer and to start praying for you. And I did that. And there were some people that paid for me almost like a month. And this thing went away, and the Lord gave me one more vision. Well, I don't want to freak everybody out. But anyway, showing that thing being killed by a couple angels. It was the coolest, weirdest thing. So I'm a baby Christian. So I guess what I'm here to say is these things are hard to describe. Like. So as we go through some of these things, just remember, because they sound weird. Okay, so the first one, verse 4, was like a lion. It had wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. So this is the first beastie, okay, that comes out of this sea, right? All right. Lights! Thank you, sir. All right. Now, what did it look like? I don't have any idea, okay? So you guys might agree with this, disagree, but it's coming out of the sea, right? Out of the nations. It's coming out, and it's this lion, okay? That lion represents Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. Okay. In verse 4, it says, the first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. So it's, now interestingly enough, you guys maybe find this interesting, or you'll be like, oh, okay, yawn. But to me, this is cool, okay? Like a lion, Babylon was the king of the world. If you guys remember, if Nebuchadnezzar just didn't like the way you looked at him, you've got a shirt on he didn't like, he could have you killed, cut up into pieces, and your family's home, you know, made a dunghill. Okay, that's who he was. So they had absolute power, and the eagle and the lion are kind of like the absolute beasts of their kingdoms, okay? So that Babylon was that head lion, that head eagle, okay? And the power, when they won, they had power and speed in their army. The wings speak of swiftness in the Bible. It says in Proverbs that your finances are fleeting like the wings of an eagle. You might have heard somebody say, you're going to mount up on wings of eagle. You'll run and not grow weary. You remember that Bible verse? So it speaks of swiftness. And the Babylonians, when they would attack, they had power and swiftness, okay? And the Bible mentions Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar as a lion, both a lion and an eagle, okay? So Jeremiah 4:7 says, a lion has come out of its lair. A destroyer of nations has set out. He has left his place to lay waste to your land. Your towns will lie in ruin without inhabitant. And Jeremiah 50:17 says, Israel is scattered flock like the lions have chased away. The first to devour them was the king of Assyria. The last to crush their bones will be Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It also speaks of them as eagles. Okay? Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, a great eagle with powerful wings and long feathers. This is speaking of, if you look in Ezekiel 17, of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And full plumage of various colors has come to Lebanon, taking hold of the top cedar. Jeremiah 48:40 says, this is what the Lord says. Look, an eagle is swooping down, spreading its wings over Moab. Or Habakkuk 1:6-8 says, I am raising up the Babylonians. They're a ruthless and impetuous people. They sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings that are not their own. They are feared and dreaded people. They are law unto themselves and promote their own honor. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. Okay? If you look at some of their gates, this is in the Louvre, in the Museum of Paris. This is their winged lion with its wings unfolded, okay, at the Babylon gate, okay, that they stole from the Iraqis. Anyway, I shouldn't say that. I don't know that. Maybe they paid money. I don't know. You can't really see on this one too much, but there's tons of they got winged dragons and bulls and such. Now, that was the Ishtar Gate that they have in Germany. And then there was a walkway, okay? It's the 8th gate. And here are the Babylonian lions, okay? That was all the way up. They were known for their winged lions. If you can't see that wing there too well, here's a little close-up of it, okay? Not unfold, but, okay? That's the winged lion. So these are all in museums. And that's a lion or a winged lion of Babylon discovered in the 1976 digs. You can kind of see there's actually a man there that it's chewing on, I think. See that? See his feet, legs? 1876. Yeah, what did I say? Details! Details. Okay. Thank you very much for that correction. Okay, so there you go. All right, so that first one is Babylon, and that's the first beastie. How are we doing on time? Okay. All right, so that's the first. Now, again, what these look like, I don't know exactly. I'm just putting stuff up here to give you a visual because I like visuals. All right. It says also in verse 4 that I watched its wings being torn off, and it was. I mean, basically Babylon pretty much ceased when the Medo-Persians came in, and all of its splendor and all of its majesty was just ripped away. Then it also says, and it was lifted up to the lifted off the ground and stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And to me, I don't know exactly what that means, but that reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember when he was really humbled too? And you remember when, you know, he was like, he said, look at all I've built, the king of the world, what I have done. And the Lord had to humble him and he became like a beast. Do you remember that? And he had to eat grass for like years and like a wild animal. And then as soon as he repented, God granted him a heart. And then he praised. I think he's saved. I think you'll see him in heaven. And he got saved. Jojo. Yes, you may have a microphone.
All right, so I don't know if this has anything to do with the Bible, but I thought it was pretty interesting.
Okay.
I believe it's Greek mythology,
okay.
But there's this creature called the manticore.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically this massive, like, lion-like beast
mm-hmm.
that has huge wings, and it's, like, known to be very powerful and, like, the destroyer of cities and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's been known to be able to take the form of a man.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was really
interesting. Now, I do want to say one thing, only because you said that. Okay. Greek mythology is a myth. Mythology, right? Everybody get that? The Bible here is truth. Okay, sorry. So just want to say that real quickly. But thank you for sharing that. Now, verse 5, it says, and there stood before me a second beast, which looked like a bear. So he's trying to describe it, okay? And it says, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And it was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. All right? Lights, please. So what did it look like? Okay, of course, I don't know. It was like a bear, so who knows? Okay. Now, the Medes and the Persians were very different from the Babylonians. The Babylonians, it would say that their horses were so swift and like wings, and they would come down to the people. The Medes and the Persians were slow. They were like these giant lumbering armies, if you know. They had massive, massive armies, and they consumed everything. The 3 ribs in his mouth, they consumed, well, how do I even say this? Well, I'll say that in a minute. The 3 ribs in his mouth probably represent Babylon, which they took over in 539, which was a world empire, Lydia in 546, which was the world empire, and Egypt in 525. The reason why it was raised up on one side, because it was the empire of the Medes and the Persians, but the Persians were much stronger, so it was almost like lopsided. And so they were Persian strong, and they weren't like a lion, they weren't swift like the Babylonians. They actually, when they went out and attacked, they would have their whole families with them. So I don't know if you guys heard the story of Xerxes, but when he attacked, he had a force. It's the largest fighting force that was ever actually in use, if I understand it correctly. According to Herodotus, the size of Xerxes, the Medes, and the Persians' force was over 2 million men and 4,000 ships that when he was attacking Greece at the time. And this whole thing, it just looked like a sea. He has this big lumbering bear, you know, just devouring and crushing everything in their path. Imagine what 2 million people would eat and drink. They would just ravage everything. The third. All right, the third animal, the third little beastie. Verse 6, After I looked, and there before me was another beast. Okay, this is the third one. And on that looked like a leopard. Okay, it looked like a leopard. Obviously it wasn't, but it looked like it. And on its back had four wings, like those of a bird. So if that wings represent swiftness, then the leopard with four wings would be super swift. Okay? And the beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. Okay, so what did it look like? Again, I don't know. As it's coming out, a leopard, and that leopard represents Greece, probably, and also represents Alexander the Great in Greece. Now, his army was super small. Now, he actually conquered the Medes and the Persians. Remember I told you that? They had like 2 million men fighting. Well, somehow Greece won. And it was because of their cunning. They weren't very like powerful like the bear, but they were cunning and they were swift and they had better tactics. They actually conquered the Medes and the Persians with about 35,000 to 45,000 guys, and they went up against folks like 500,000 or 1 million, and somehow they won. What was that, 20 times the amount? And it had four heads, and Alexander the Great, again, this was all before these people even came to power, before they even were alive, okay? Daniel's seeing all this. Okay, it's pretty amazing. And he had four generals that he trusted in his armies, okay? So that represents the four heads. And in fact, Alexander the Great died exactly where Nebuchadnezzar's palace, in Nebuchadnezzar's palace, where Belteshazzar, that's where he died. Now, we don't know if he died from... He was actually bummed that there was no other lands to conquer. He conquered all the way down to India. Like, in just a few years, he conquered everything. It was amazing. And then after he died, he gave it to those four generals that basically he trusted, Cassander, Lysimachus, Seleucus, and Ptolemy. Okay? All right. Here we go. Next. I also like it says that the beast was given authority to rule. Like, and to me, like if you get 35,000 guys against like 1 million guys, there's no way I would think they would ever win, right? But he's not in charge, and the Medes and the Persians aren't in charge, and Babylon's not in charge. I guess I just want to say, like, God's in charge of everything. So I watch people freak out sometimes. Oh my gosh, we have a liberal in the White House. Oh my gosh, and other people are freaking out. We have a conservative. Oh my goodness, we have a this in the well. Oh, this. You know what? Everything is in his hands. You just serve the Lord and trust the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? You follow him. Don't get so concerned about all the rulers and authorities. God's ultimately in charge of that. And if he brings in someone to... a ruler or authority to bring down the hammer, well, then that's what's supposed to happen. You can trust him. Okay? It says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Even when you look at some of the battles where Alexander the Great won, he shouldn't have won, but he won because of some weird move that he did or they did or something like that. It's all in the king's hands. Daniel 2:1 says, it's God that changes the times and seasons. He disposes kings and he raises up others. Yeah. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. So don't panic about all these people and the law. You just follow the Lord and you seek to honor him with your whole life. Okay? Trust him. Don't get weighed down with anxiety. Independent, Republican, Democrat, monkey, socialist. Just follow the Lord and seek to honor him and vote for whoever is going to most honor the Lord in what they do.
Hey, Darren.
Yes.
Real quick, that also shows that we should be praying for our leaders.
Absolutely.
And that's giving us the confidence to pray in confidence that God is in control.
Yes. In fact, I was just going to say that, so thank you for saying it. Romans 13:1 says everyone, speaking to Christians, everyone, what? To governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And then it goes on to say, hey, some to punish those who do evil, some... So just trust the Lord in it, you know? And again, there may be a time where you'll have to stand against that, okay? But as Christians, we should be the best citizens in the world. And instead of slandering whoever's in office or in administration, how about you pray for them? What? Yeah, how about that? So if you don't like Donald Trump, instead of just talking bad about him, talking smack and I'm against the drama, how about you pray for him? Or if you're against Obama, how about instead of just slandering him and talking all this stuff, how about you pray for him and ask God to change hearts? How about we do that? Well, that's crazy. Okay. Now, the next beast. Okay, this is like way, way, way different, okay? It says, verse 7, after that, in my vision, right, at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast. And it was terrifying. It was way different than the other beast. It was frightening. We're talking Daniel. Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. And he, you know, so I'm guessing he's not frightened too easy. He's terrified. He's frightened of what he sees here. And it's very powerful. It had iron teeth. And everybody knows that Rome was known for their iron. They won on their iron spears and swords and such, and their armor and such. The iron legions of Rome. Anyway, it had a large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot what was left. It was different from all the other beasts and had 10 horns, okay? And so, again, I don't know what that thing looks like in his vision coming up out of the sea. But that was the largest. Rome was the largest empire, the strongest, the most unified, and then most enduring of them all. When I think back about, you know, how long these empires lasted, Babylon, you know, Medo-Persian Greece, Rome lasted longer than all of them put together. Okay, it's like 1,000 years, 1,400 years, if you look on Wikipedia. It's incredible. And then it's almost like he's going to fast forward into the future, because it says this in verse 8. While I was thinking about the horns that it had, and there was another horn, a little one, which came up from among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn was like the eyes of a man that spoke boastfully. And then he's going to go into all this stuff about the Lord and the thrones, and we'll speak about that in a second. But it's almost like he's just like fast-forwarding to the future now. Now, maybe there's going to be a future prophecy, a revived Rome empire. I don't know. Some people think that could be the European Union, right? It was called the Rome Treaty, right? Wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken. Some people think this could be, you know, the European Union. Some people think, just be careful when you're putting labels on stuff. That little horn is supposed to be the Antichrist, okay? That's going to come out. And every president, I mean, people have thought Hitler was the Antichrist, which I could see. Mussolini, Trump, Obama, as the Antichrist, the UN is the Antichrist, somebody, you know, European Union, who knows what those 10 things, they represent 10 nations. You can read that in verse 24, but just be careful on labeling stuff. This person, this is what it is, because we don't know yet. You know what I mean? And you don't want to look foolish. There are a lot of prophecy people that, oh, I know it's this person, and I know it's this thing, and I know it. And then later on you figure out, you realize, oh, they didn't know, because that guy died. Or that thing dissolved. And so I love prophecy people. If you're a prophecy person, wonderful. I love it. Good. Be encouraged. We should be looking forward to him, Jesus, coming back and putting a smackdown on this beast. Okay? So great. But, you know, sometimes we can all be, if you've ever been around a prophecy, that's all they want to talk about. Prophecy, 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 prophecy. And what about the here and now? How do we live right now today for Jesus? Oh, I don't need to work. I know somebody who's so into they don't even need really trying to work very much because they're just ready. Okay. You know, what are you going to stand in your PJs? I mean, I want the Lord to come back today too, and he could, right? But get your hands dirty. Get busy right now. God has work. He wants you to learn. He wants you to study. He wants you to be built up in Him. He wants you to share the gospel while there's time. So as you're looking forward with prophecy in expectation, which is good, don't forget to live it out right here, right now. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So don't be one of those, just don't become a weirdo. I don't know how to say that in a cool way. Remember, I revise, like, somebody can correct me. But and then it goes on in verse, oh yeah, I think I did have a Bible verse here. When it says that the mouth spoke boastfully, in Revelation, when it's talking about the beast and the horns presenting power and strength, it says the beast, in Revelation 13, 5 to 6, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and all those who live in heaven. So this Antichrist who's going to be risen up, he's going to be slandering God. How he does that, he's going to have charm, he's going to have finesse, he's going to have charisma, he's going to have power, and he's going to have all this stuff, but he's going to be slowly slandering the name of the Lord and heaven. You know, can you believe those? Are you going to believe in heaven? Are you going to believe those and born again? What? Are you kidding me? That's what he's going to be like. He's going to be like a silver-tongued devil. Okay? And then it starts talking about the throne in verse 9. It says this. It says, as thrones were set into place, and the Ancient of Days took his place. And I think that thrones is perhaps speaking of like the same thrones mentioned in Revelation 4:4 and 20 verse 4. Where it says, surrounding the thrones, there were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders, and they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head, just giving them up for the Lord and the end times. You know, the throne of judgment. In verse 24, John said, hey, I saw thrones, and I saw people sitting on them, and they'd been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus, for proclaiming the word of God. That's what's going to happen, guys. They had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor had they accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. Listen, sometime this Antichrist is going to institute such a system to where if you don't get that mark on your hands or your forehead, you're not going to be able to buy and sell goods. And you're just going to be tempted, what does it matter? I'll just take the mark. But no, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be a choice you're making. You're going to choose to turn your back on the Lord. And that will be a choice for the Antichrist. And it says that it's going to be such a powerful delusion that it would even deceive the very elect if that were possible. So during the time, things, I'll just wait till that time and then I'll make my decision for Jesus. That way I can have my fun now, right? Whoa, don't be a fool. You choose to follow him now. You get strengthened now because there's going to be a supernatural deception that's coming. Rebecca.
We're not guaranteed tomorrow anyway.
And we're not guaranteed.
Get saved later.
Yes, but it's our lazy nature, right? You know what I mean? I don't want to put forth the effort. I don't want to go to the Bible study. I don't want to go to the give up the money. I don't want to win. And it says, but then it says they all came back to and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay. A few more minutes. It says, in the Ancient of Days, that's Father God, it says it took his seat. And that, when it says like Ancient of Days, that's Father God. And Psalm 90, verse 2 says, Ancient of Days. Have you guys ever heard of a song from Ron Canole? Who knows Ron Canole? Anybody? Oh my goodness, there's like four people? Okay, here's what you're going to do. When you get home, because you guys, some of you aren't receiving my texts, you look up Ancient of Days, Ron Canole live, and he sings a song. Oh, Ancient of Days, about 10 minutes. Put it on your YouTube. Oh, dude, it's awesome. I played it like 4 times. Oh, and you watch even, you know, they're worshiping, praising the Ancient of Days. And, I mean, you have people on drums, guitar. You see even like the staunch Baptists in their suits, they're like. And you see like a few of them are like, can I do that? Can I raise my hand? I'm doing it. I'm up to here, you know. And then you see some other people, they're just like, oh, Ancient of Days. But it's speaking of the eternality of God, right? He was, he is, and he is. Look, Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were born or you were brought forth into the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Don't worry about, you know, who comes against you or what happens, hey, even if you lose your head. Revelation 1:8, I love it. God says to us, remember who I am. He said, I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. That's who I serve. That's my God. That's my Jesus. That's my Father in heaven. And he's going to get us through anything, isn't he? Mark, you have a microphone? Okay, thanks, Soph.
It reminds me of when Moses asked the question of God, and he said, well, who shall I say sent me?
Yeah.
And he said, I am who I am. Tell them that I am has sent me. And that's exactly who he's talking about in the book of the Revelation.
For Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to kill him. All right, we get these last few verses here. Lord, can I? No. Okay. All right. My brain's fried already. Okay. Well, let me just say this really quickly. I got to do it. Yes, really quickly. Here's the bottom line. Okay, everybody just close your eyes for 2 seconds while I fast forward through some of my little slides. You don't see any of this. Ignore it. Ignore what you see. Ignore it. You're ignoring it all. Okay, here's what the Bible says. I just want to make sure, because we're not promised tomorrow. I've had friends that I had to bury. I thought they were going to be around, and I had to carry their coffin multiple times. I had to do their funerals. John 3:36 says, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life." And if you believe, that just doesn't mean, oh, I believe I said some words at a gospel presentation. Now I'm going to live however I like. Whatever. Jesus, Bible, okay. No, that means you understand, man. It's heaven and hell. There is judgment to come for the unrighteous. You're saying, I believe. And because I believe, I'm having a change of heart, a change of mind. And I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to seek who you are. I want to know you. I want to follow you. See, if I said I believed that there was a bomb in here and it's going to go off in 2 minutes and then sat down and had some tea and kept talking, you'd be like, a bomb. Now, if I said, oh my God, I'm screaming, there's a bomb in here. Get out. It's going to go off in 2 minutes. I'm pulling you guys physically out the door. You'd be like, okay, let's get out of here, because my actions show my belief. Does that make sense? So it says, he that believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he that does not believes not the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God still abides in him. There's a heaven and a hell, and I don't want you to go there. So listen, the Lord loves you. He loved you enough to die for you. He showed you that he had the power to raise it again from the dead, and he could raise you up again to eternal life. And he can give you this life starting now. That's our God. That's our Lord. That's our King of Kings. That's our Ancient of Days, who was and is to come. Make sure right now, if you don't know him, just make sure. I'll just leave that up there. He who has the Son has life. It's pretty simple. He who doesn't have the Son does not have life. If you haven't given your life totally over to Jesus Christ, if everybody could just bow their heads and pray with me right now today, because we don't know how much time we have. Would you just tell him, just say, Lord, in your own words, just tell him, Lord, I love you. I don't even understand all this stuff. But I know that I'm a sinner. I do know that much. And I know that you're a holy God and you're a good God. And you know me. I'm not a good person. Will you just ask him right now, as best as you know how, will you save me, Lord? Will you change my heart? Will you change my mind? Will you change my direction in my life? I want to follow you, Lord. Will you just come into my heart, Lord? Will you save me? Will you make me new? Will you help me to follow you, Lord? Will you teach me? Just ask him in your own words to save you. And tell him you want to walk with him, whatever it takes. Just tell him, I know you died for me. Shed your blood. I know you rose again from the dead, that I may have eternal life. And Lord, as best as I know how, I receive your Holy Spirit into my life. I receive that salvation, that new life. I receive you into my heart and life. Come and make me clean. Come and make me whole. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. If you'll do that, he will save you. Lord, I pray for your blessing for every Christian and every person here, Lord, whether they know you or not, that you would bring them to a point of a closer relationship with you. I ask that you would bless them and instill your heart, your word, and your Holy Spirit in their lives, Lord, and that you would do whatever it takes to help us to follow you better. And I ask that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.
You know, there might be someone here that might not know.
Yes.
They prayed that prayer, or if it happened, or whatever. But John 1, 12 and 13, take great encouragement from this. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God.
Amen.
Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, or of the will of man, but of God.
Yes. And come see somebody. If you've made that decision, please, 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 in Jesus' name. Also, if I can get some folks to come pray for Andy. All right, if you can come pray for Andy, and you don't leave until I talk to you. You guys can come up. If I can get anybody to come pray for Andy with me, that'd be great. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Have a great week.